me what it was to give when no one else is looking, and not just for the approval of man. What it is to study God's word and take all that's coming into our lives through different media and bring it into contrast with God's word. Men who were ready to tell me and willing to tell me when I was wrong, even when I didn't think I was wrong. Back to the question of, God, what do you have for me? And what is my part in this grand plan of yours? We have to first ask ourselves the question, am I willing to count the cost and consider all that this world has to offer as a far second compared to the surpassing greatness that is knowing Christ and making him known? And if that we are willing to say yes to, yes, it is worth it, then we can start to dig in. If our desire is to make him known among the nations around the world, it's not going to happen in a weekend or a month or even a year. It's going to take a lifetime of investing in the younger generation, making disciples right here, right now, where you are. Those of you maybe my age or older, look around. How many do you see sitting around you who are still growing up, maybe in the youth group or still in high school? I know you think, oh, well, a thousand excuses of inability to connect, or it's a different generation. But let me tell you, there are men in this body who are willing to maybe be a bit awkward at times. But let me tell you, when truth came to bear, it didn't matter. They had wisdom and years of walking with the Lord and a desire to impart truth into my life. And I can say for a fact, I don't believe we would be here today where we are had it not been for those men who, it wasn't just they, sure, we would go to youth retreats and they would go and be part of weekend youth events throughout the summer. But it didn't end there. That was merely the beginning. That doesn't even scratch the surface. It was day after day, week after week, year after year, coming alongside, putting up with attitudes and failures and struggles and bad decisions on my part, but yet coming alongside and loving and mentoring. And so, yeah, when we're looking for a quick return, this isn't it. But if we're willing to count the cost and we're willing to invest the time because we see that it's worth it in light of eternity, it starts here. So looking around, you see those younger people, and you younger people, you see the older people, you think, what do I have to learn from them? Well, let me tell you, from experience, a lot. So the challenge becomes, as we look back on a rich heritage, we can see and point to the Lord at work around the world through this body. What does that look like to come? I believe it begins right here and right now, in mentoring and discipling, and for those who have had years of walking with the Lord and seeing him work both here, both locally and abroad, coming alongside those who have yet to experience that. To those who are looking to what they're going to do with their life, those of you who have maybe spent time going after what this world has to offer and found its joy fleeting, walking alongside those going, don't waste this life you've been given, these talents the Lord has built into you, and throw aside everything the world is trying to tell you about what is good, and let's come together in light of truth, in light of what God has called us to as the body of Christ. And let's be a part of something greater. that's going to last. And now, here as we sit right now in the Philippines, we can look back on those days with great fondness and with tremendously thankful hearts that there were those who were willing to invest when it hurt and when it was hard, who showed us what was important because they lived it out. So our prayer as a family for you all during this missions conference is that you would take time to look back on the heritage and legacy that is the theme of this conference and look at tangible ways the Lord has used this body of believers, both here, I'm thinking in Montoursville, and abroad, over the years. Listen to the stories of God's faithfulness, because they won't ever get old and we won't ever recall them too often. But I pray that it would also be a spark in some that the Spirit of God uses to ignite not just a match that is here and then gone, but a slow and steady and enduring flame. And to those of you there, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for those who have gone before me, who have taken the time and seen the importance of investing into me and my family. And I pray that many more would be inspired, and that we would all look to the Lord for wisdom and what He has for us in the years to come. May we look back in 10 years at 10 years of the Lord's faithfulness, unbounded and exponential in growth, because I believe He wants to use us if we will only choose to obey, to consider the cost, and to look for our joy not in this world, but the joy that comes from knowing Christ and making Him known.
Harry, could we get the full thing on the back? Thank you again for joining us, guys, for our missions focus. And I just want to take a moment to reference back to Alex, for those of you who may not know him. He mentioned in the video that he was in the Philippines while he recorded that. And he and his wife, Elizabeth, and their children just over a year ago were sent from this church to go be missionaries in the Philippines, where they fly people in and out of remote locations there. And as he mentioned in the video, he believes that he's where he is today as a result of many people here at the church. I'll mention a few. I know Tim Shepherd is one of the men that he was talking about in that video and all the years of impacting him in the youth group. And certainly Cleon Watts is another one that comes to mind that spent hours and hours and even years pouring into Alex so that he can be there now today. Others like Harry and Sue Jones back in the youth group, but I really do want to recognize above all that Rex and Lori Minium, his parents, who are willing to see them get on that plane and go to the Philippines. Talk about an example of living out what Jamie just said, being willing to let your kids go and passing that baton. His sister sits here today as well, not able to see those kids, you know, for many years growing up. Aunt Rachel, you know, she's missing those kids. But how incredible is that, that we have a part in seeing that come to be, and that we have one of our own people in the Philippines right now. We're passing the baton on right now to the next generation. And Alex will always hold a special place in my heart because, many of you don't know this, Wendy knows this, others do, Alex Minium is the first person that I met at CBC. So the first person that I ever met at CBC. Did you know that? Did I tell you that, Lori? So Alex was probably 16 years old, and he was working in the sound booth back there. The first time I ever came to CBC, I was dating Wendy, and they were singing music all the way back then, you know, 15 years ago or so. They had music practice on a Thursday night, so I came with them. It was the first time I ever came to CBC, Thursday night music practice, and Alex was in the back running sound, and he's the first person I ever met from CBC. Isn't that pretty cool? And I was really impressed with this young teenage kid, and that began almost 20-year friendship. So he holds a special place in my heart, and I'm glad he could weigh in on the theme of this missions conference, which you see on the screen is legacy, and behind us is legacy. And as I mentioned this morning when we started, you know, that's maybe a curious name for our missions focus. You know, why would we choose the name legacy or the title legacy for these 3 weeks? Because legacy, I think, is a bit of a misnomer. When you think of leaving a legacy, you might think of, you know, leaving your memory of your accomplishments when you're gone and having some kind of renown. That's what we think of with legacy. But if you look it up in the dictionary, it actually carries quite a different definition. And I want to highlight a few of those. The first definition that comes up for legacy is a thing handed down by a predecessor. A thing handed down by a predecessor. The second definition you'll see is anything handed down from the past, from an ancestor, or again, a predecessor, one that went before. And you're going to carry on in their likeness doing the things that they did. Another definition is something passed down from one generation to the next. And that's probably the one that we mean the most here at CBC. Passing down something from this generation to the next generation who is to come. And so this begs the question, what are we passing down? If a legacy is something passed down from one generation to the next, what is it that we hope to pass down here at CBC? Another question would be, what are we handing off? If a legacy is something that's handed off from a predecessor or an ancestor to the next generation to be lived out, what are we hoping to hand off here at Community to the next generation? To the future Alex Miniams, to the future Tyler Sanfords, to the future Tom Garbers. What are we hoping to pass off? What are we hoping to pass off to our kids and our grandkids, some who are in the back now watching? What do we hope to instill in them? And I've just come up with a few to summarize the theme of our conference. We're hoping to pass down the great missions heritage here at Community. Because we do have a great missions heritage. In this picture is a sample of that legacy. Just this year, Lucille Sanford went to be with the Lord, and she was one of our, you know, lifelong missionaries sent from this church who had kids who were sent from this church, and you're going to be hearing from her grandkids who are sent from this church next week. So we want to hand off the great missions heritage at Community. We also want to hand off the great missions commitment at Community. We have a great commitment to missions here at the church, don't we? I think it's a big commitment when we give every year upwards of 40 to 43% of all giving to missions. That's a high level of commitment, even beyond all the time that many of you spend in other ways volunteering and helping. Another thing that I think we're going to want to pass down or hand off to our kids and our grandkids is the great missions passion here at Community. When you hear many here at church talk about missions, there's a passion in their voice. They're excited about what God is doing, and we want to instill that passion in the next generation. And finally, I think what we want to do is pass down the great missions culture here at Community. That's a picture of my daughter at our house sitting on the floor reading a book to Seth Sanford's daughters. And think, like Jamie said, you know, maybe in 50, 60 years or even less, most likely neither Jamie or I will be here. Most likely Seth and Caitlin won't be here. Many in this room won't be here. But very likely, only the Lord knows, those girls will be here. And they are exposed now to the great missions culture at Community, and may it continue. But those are the main things we're talking about passing down. Our great missions heritage, our great missions passion and culture here at the church. And so what we're going to do in this session is just try to reinforce that theme of these 3 weeks in our minds and ask the question, what can we do about it to ensure that it's passed down? The Great Commission is yet to be completed. Would we all agree with that in this room? It's yet to be completed. Jamie even mentioned this morning that, you know, his generation is yet to see it complete. There still remains in the 2000s of unreached language groups that have yet to have even a verse of Scripture in their language. So it's yet to be completed. And would we agree that more needs to be done? And quite a bit more needs to be done, even more beyond what CBC can do, but there's more, way more that needs to be done, namely in reaching every tribe, tongue, and nation with the gospel. It's still open. And our argument for our time, the next 3 weeks for this focus, is it will very likely take the next generation or even two to see it through. Only the Lord knows that. Only the Lord knows what will happen in the next 10 years or 15 years or 20 years by this generation. We don't know. We're not making any grand theological statements with this, but the likelihood at the rate that the gospel is being translated, the Bible is being translated into these new languages and the time that it takes, it likely will take more than just our generation. It will likely take the next generation or two to see it through. To see every tribe, tongue, and nation or language receive the scriptures for the first time and have the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord. And so our focus then for this time is, what will this generation do to instill a great missions heritage and passion and commitment and culture into the next generation that's coming up, so that they carry on that heritage and that legacy that we've set forth here at CBC? Maybe the simplest way to put it would be posing some questions like this. Who will be our next global goers? Who will be the next Tyler Sanford who's sitting in Indonesia right now? Who will be the next Alex Minium sitting in the Philippines right now? Who will be the next Russ and Melody Ebersol who you just saw weeks ago sent back to Togo, West Africa? We know their time is limited on this earth, as is all of ours. Who will be the next goers? Who will go to Africa and Asia? Who will be sent? That's a big question. Another one will be, who will be our next faithful senders? We have many faithful senders sitting in this room right now. And they pray regularly for those who are out on the field and those who are doing missions work. They're not only just part of sending teams, but they not only give of their resources and their time, but they actively send and support those who are out there. Who will be the next generation who holds this up? Another question is, who will be our next sacrificial givers? Because the mission takes a cost. It takes a financial support to have that many missionaries on the field. And I was actually handed a physical baton today, this morning. Harry Boyer gave me this. And this is the original cash receipts budget book for CBC missions. That started back in 1950, and I was handed it from one of, you know, our great leaders, and who was around during some of this, not all the way back to the 50s, I'm sure, but he handed me this actual, like, representation of a physical baton, and Harry looked up to see what we did in 1950. In 1950, get this, the first total annual donation to missions was $280 in 1950. And that's been continuing on all the way now to 2020. And we just reported a couple weeks ago at our annual report that in 2019-2020, that number of commitment annually now to missions is 330,000 is what was come in the last year. So all the way from 1950, the baton's being passed by sacrificial givers throughout the years all the way to us. And this is just a representation of that physical financial baton that's being passed from sacrificial giver to sacrificial giver throughout several generations, even here at Community. But finally here too, who will be our next prayer warriors? Who will be the kids that are in this room and the grandkids that you have that will be faithful prayer warriors for those that will go? We need a future generation who will go. We need a future generation who will send. We need a future generation who will give, and a future generation who will pray for those involved in missions. And who will that be? We want to be a part of that. We want this generation to be part of instilling that in the young ones, like they're in the back row by Mark. And so that's the theme of our conference, passing down, handing off this great missions heritage and commitment that we have now to the next generation. And so we have to ask some very important questions. I like how Jamie ended on a few questions as well. Questions to provoke us and to get us thinking biblically. Listen to this question. How will we ensure, through faithful obedience, that the great missions heritage at Community will be passed on to the next generation? What can we be doing as obedient followers of Christ who care deeply about missions now? How can we ensure through faithful obedience that the next generation who will be sitting in these pews over the next 50 or maybe even 100 years if the Lord tarries, how will this be passed on? How will we instill this in them? Another way to put it would be, how will we ensure that the Great Commission, or the Great, rather, Missions commitment and passion and culture here at Community will be carried on by the next generation? And that's essentially what this whole missions focus is about. How can we be part of passing down this great missions commitment, passion, and culture that we have now currently, and I think are rightfully proud of and excited about? But how can we be a part of making sure that that's carried on 50 years from now or 100 years from now, if that's what it takes? Maybe finally here, how can we successfully hand off the community missions baton to the next generation? And think about this just for a second, back to those financial numbers. And I don't want to harp on missions being just financial, but this is a tangible example. The baton that was passed in 1950 to the generation, 1951, was $280 annually in one missionary. And so the baton they passed to the next was a little light, or the next year was a little light. And they added four missionaries the next year. Well, then follow that baton now to 2020 with over 30 missionaries that it takes $330,000 a year to handle. That's a heavy baton, isn't it? Much heavier. And so we need a future generation who is strong and mighty in their faith and their commitment to hold up missions at CBC, or the thing can crumble. We know the Lord is faithful, and it's the Lord that does it, and His church will not fail. Even the gates of hell cannot rise against it, but He also, as Jamie said this morning, uses people like you and I. And we want to make sure that the next generation is as faithful as this one is and was. And so today, during this hour, we just want to briefly look at four very simple ways that we can all be involved in passing on our great missions legacy here at Community. And if anything, I hope that one of the main things of this time over the next 3 weeks is that you feel like you can be a part of this, and that it's not a very difficult thing to pass down this passion and this commitment. It's just intentional, and everyone can be part of it, and everyone can be a part of passing it down to the next generation. It's not just going to be the super elite Christians or the really, really mission-minded people. All of us can be part of it. God wants us all to do some things, and it's not that complicated. So we're going to go through these very four simple things of how we can all be involved in passing this great missions heritage down to our kids and our grandkids. The first one is realizing that everyone has a role to play. Everyone sitting in this room, everyone who was here this morning for the first session, every single person has a role to play. There's something that you can do. There's something that you can bring to the table, as it were, to help pass this on. No matter how ungifted you feel that you are, or unskilled, or how small your checkbook is, or whatever excuse that we have, like Moses did, I'm not a good speaker. God can use all of us and wants to use all of us, and we all have a role to play in helping pass the baton to the next generation. In 1 Corinthians 12, we read, "Just as a body, though one has many parts, and all of its many parts work together, they form one body." So body has many parts, but it's one body in the end, and all the parts are working together. Paul says it's similar to the body of Christ. There's many members doing many different things, but one body, the body of Christ. And he says this in the next verse, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part of it." We heard this morning that the body of Christ, the last Adam, he is living through the body of Christ, or the church, that is, and he wants to see the gospel get to the ends of the earth, and we're part of it as his members, and all of us have a part to play or a role to play in that. God wants to use all of us in it, and we need to believe that and embrace that role that he wants for us. And so the church of Jesus Christ has been commanded to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And every missions focus, we want to remind us of that, and Jamie did briefly this morning, but we've been commanded to do that. And as believers who attend a local fellowship of believers, we each have a responsibility to obey that command. And we also have the great privilege of being able to be part of that and have our lives be going towards something way more important than us, and that will outlive our lives. It's not just a responsibility, it is also a privilege. But by the very essence of being part of the body of Christ, having been born again, and then being connected now to a local body of believers, we have the responsibility, all of us, to obey that command. Not just our missionaries that are sent, not just the missions committee who oversees that, but all of us have a role to play. And so as believers, we have a special role to play in fulfilling that global mission and even seeing it passed down to the next generation. And we want to see us all realize that, come to believe it, accept it, cherish it, and then also get active in it. And for some, that role or that part that God wants you to play, for some, it will mean going to the uttermost parts of the world with the gospel message, like Greg and Don did. To the uttermost parts of the world where there is no hospital, where there is no veterinarian, there is no grocery store. The parts of the world that Alex and Elizabeth fly people into. For some, it will mean being willing to go to those places. For others, even as Jamie mentioned this morning, for others, it will mean working hard back here at home and saving your money and budgeting properly in order to give monthly and sacrificially, because our missionaries aren't able to work over there and be gainfully employed and be paid. They're going voluntarily, and the church, the individuals in the church, fund that to happen. And so we need many who stay and work hard and save in order to have some to give to be able to uphold the work that they're doing. But for all of us in this room, it should certainly mean sending well. And we could do a whole session on what that would mean. But it means simply meeting the needs of our missionaries emotionally, financially, physically, and regularly praying for them, regularly being engaged in what they're doing, backing them with everything that they need. So we all have a part to play in sustaining this generation of missions effort, and we all have a role to play in passing it down. And that's the theme of this conference. What can we do to pass the baton down? Well, the first thing is acknowledge we're all part of it and have a role to play. So one of the main aims, or one of the main ways that the missions legacy or the missions heritage or the great missions commitment at CBC will be passed down to the next generation is by us individually discovering and living out our unique God-given pivotal role in this process. God wants to use all of us. For some like Tim Shepard, for some like Cleon Watts, for some like Harry Jones, that meant pulling Alex Minium aside. That meant talking to him and working on him and discipling him. For others, it might mean going and taking others with you on a missions trip or building a house. For some, it might mean bringing your kids to a sending team meeting. There's all kinds of ways, but we all have a unique, God-given, pivotal role to play in this. Let's embrace it and do it faithfully before the Lord. The second way I think that we pass on a great missions legacy to the next generation is by truly believing in the cause. Truly believing in the cause and oozing a real passion about it. What I mean by that is that there are actually over 2,000 groups of people who have never heard a word of God's truth to them. They have no understanding of who Christ is. They have no understanding of their sin. They do not know how to call on Him. And understanding that means they're cut off from God, cut off from the hope of God. And really believing that getting the gospel to them is worth it and needed, and then oozing a real passion about it, that you just can't help but be involved, you just can't help but be connected to missionaries or tell other people about it, just like you would about the last Steelers win. Oozing a passion about that, or the other things that you care about, this new technique that you found for hunting or gardening and so forth, that we ooze a real passion. I thought it might be hard to find a verse to defend oozing a real passion for missions or obedience, but there actually are quite a few. In Colossians and Romans, putting the two together, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And Paul says in Romans 12, do not be slothful in zeal. Do not be lazy about your zeal in serving the Lord. Instead, be fervent. The word means passionate. Be passionate in spirit as you serve the Lord. And when our kids and grandkids see us not slothful in zeal, but energetic in zeal, with a real fervor in serving the Lord and seeing this missions thing through, that oozes on to them. They get drawn up in it. They have a passion for it as well. And so the Church of Jesus Christ is called to obey with a glad heart, an enthusiastic zeal, and with a fervent passion in all things, even for Bible study, for prayer, for serving the poor, for helping the widows and orphans, all of that. But for the context of our 3 weeks, it's in missions. We're to have an enthusiastic zeal, a glad heart, a fervent passion for it, and truly believing in the cause and having our heart follow that, and that will naturally impact those who are watching. I would venture to guess if we asked all of our missionaries of the biggest impact in their life and what led them to go to the field, many, like Alex, if they got down to the nitty-gritty of what it was there was another believer in front of them who really believed in the cause of missions, and they loved it, and they had a great passion for it, and they couldn't help but be drawn into that. And so when we contemplate the plight of the lost ethnic groups without the gospel, when we contemplate their plight, not only are they living their whole life, most of them in destitute poverty with no health care, hardly knowing where their next meal is going to come from, they never had the chance to hear about Christ once in their lifetime and then will stand before him to give account of their life still in the first Adam, never having heard of the last Adam, having no escape for their sins, having not heard the good news. When we contemplate the plight of the people there, that fans the flame within us and gives us a little bit of a sense of urgency to get this done. But certainly when we consider the incredible purpose, this is incredibly purposeful. This is something that God's doing. This isn't an invention of Community Baptist Church. This is an invention of God and Jesus Christ. And the reward for those who sacrificially and passionately get involved in this is indestructible. When we consider those staggering truths and many others, we fan the flame of excitement within us. Now, there are many other things to ponder to excite the passion for missions within us, but those two are huge. Remember the plight of the people there if they do not hear and cannot call on the name of the Lord. And remember the incredible purpose we have been given from the God of the universe to take the message to them, and the staggering, indestructible reward there is, those two will continue to fan a flame of passion. One of my favorite quotes is about having a real passion and an enthusiasm. And so think of this in terms of passing down the missions heritage at CBC enthusiastically, passionately. Enthusiasm is one of the most powerful engines of success. And we want to successfully hand off the mission's baton to the next generation here. When you do a thing, do it with all your might. Put your whole soul into it. Be active, be energetic, be enthusiastic, be faithful, and you will accomplish your object. Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And we want to pass down this incredible, great mission's heritage. And it is a big feat, and it's a worthy feat, and it will be rewarded forever. And let's have an incredible, active zeal and energy about it. And trusting that those very things, those emotions, will excite the next generation. Let's not go, you know, somewhat bored to a missions-focused session. Let's not somewhat go reluctantly to a sending team meeting or a missionary is in town to give an update. Let's go excited with our kids. Let's go hear what God is doing. Not, oh, we got to go do this. The missionary's in town. Ugh. What's that instilling? What's that instilling in the youth? So think about a passion and a zeal. It's very, very important. So another one of the main ways that the missions legacy at Community Baptist will be passed down, I truly believe it's by believing in the worth of the cause and then displaying a real passion for the accomplishment of it. And that can't help but bring other people along. Anything that somebody's excited about can just somewhat spontaneously give me an excitement for it as well, even if I don't initially care for it. And maybe you have stories like that as well. Enthusiasm and passion is contagious, and let's be enthusiastic and passionate about missions and what God's wanting to do in the world. The third very simple thing I think that we can all do to help pass on this great missions heritage at CBC is by making missions a part of your regular routine. Yes, we dedicate 2 to 3 weeks a year to remind people of it, but this effort is ongoing annually, week in, week out. The needs of the missionary are monthly, if not weekly, and so forth. So we have to make missions a part of our regular routine. It cannot just be a couple times a year, every once in a while we somewhat get engaged and care about it. No, this somewhat marks our calendar and our agenda. It's important to us, and we're going to schedule it and be very mindful of it weekly, if not daily. Thinking of other things that we're to do in the Bible regularly, to give the example of why we should do missions regularly, in Hebrews we read, "Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made the habit of doing." So the author is encouraging people, meet regularly, be in a regular habit of meeting together. Don't break that habit. That's supposed to be something regular in your life, meeting together. Then we read in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. So two of the things we're supposed to do regularly are meet together, pray without ceasing regularly, and then here, listen in Joshua, what he's told to do regularly. God tells Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, regularly, every morning, every night, and all the time in between. Meditate on God's word so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. So we're just using the examples of meeting together as a church, praying to the Lord, and studying God's word to give the examples of God wants certain obedient disciplines in our life to happen regularly, if not even daily. And passing down the missions legacy or being excited about missions is something that he wants us to do regularly and daily. It's the last thing that he left us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. Not just when you feel like it, not just during the missions focus, daily, day in, day out. And so just as the church of Jesus Christ has been called to meet regularly and pray without ceasing and study the word of God continually and many other things that we're called to do regularly and consistently, we should make obeying the Great Commission a regular part of our day, our week, and our month. We need to somehow schedule a commitment to missions into our day, into our week. Certainly that comes by praying every day, if possible, for our missionaries, but also certainly being involved in the many things that the church has going on regarding missions and our missionaries. For some, making a regular routine of missions in their life, for some that will mean adopting a missionary by joining a specific sending team. And you don't have to join the sending team to particularly care about an individual missionary. You can still kind of adopt a missionary and say, that's our missionary. We're praying for them every day. Whenever we eat, we're praying for them. Whenever they're in town, we're investing in them, and so forth. We're going to make sure we read their updates. We're going to respond. But a great way to do that in the context of the body of Christ is our sending team. And so if you're not part of a sending team, come see me, come see Don, come see any one of the people on the missions committee to see how we can get you plugged in to a sending team, which has adopted a missionary and says, we're going to meet regularly to talk about them, pray for them, and try to meet their needs. For others, a daily routine or weekly routine of missions might mean simply setting up and cleaning up for missions events. I mean, somebody had to set up all those tables out there. Somebody had to put all the flags out. Somebody had to get all the food. Somebody had to put up all of this. And there's many more things than that. Whenever a missionary's in town, we usually have a fellowship, and there's chairs set up and tables set up and all kinds of food. And that also needs then to be torn down again. And so as the church functions in trying to celebrate and also advertise missions and our missionaries, there's a lot of setup or cost and time involved in that. And that's even a simple way in your daily, weekly routine you can be involved. But certainly for all, it should mean praying for our missionaries on any and all occasion. Maybe a simple takeaway would be jot down the names or contact the office and get a copy of the pictures of all the missionaries out on those bulletin boards by the TV there on the missions wall. There's about 30 of them, so if you went through one a day and prayed for them at your meals with your kids, that's a simple way to instill a missions-mindedness through a regular routine into the next generation. There are many other ideas. Those are just a few. One of my other favorite quotes is about the idea of success being the sum of small, regular disciplines. And we're talking about taking this big, huge concept of missions and breaking it down into smaller tasks day in, day out. Day in, day out, we have a routine commitment in our life. Success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. If we are going to instill a mission-mindedness in our kids and our grandkids, it's likely going to be small efforts day in and day out, not just bringing them to one thing once a year. And so we have to find out, how can we schedule missions into our daily routine? And quite frankly, only you can quite fully answer that, because you know your routine. And so discover a way to bring missions into your daily and weekly routine, especially on display for kids and grandkids. Another quote about this concept is, it's not what we do once in a while that shapes our lives, but what we do consistently. Let's not do missions once in a while in front of our kids and our grandkids, or with those that call this their church home. Let's do missions consistently, routinely, day in and day out, and let's see what God may do with those simple obediences over a long period of time. And so the third main way I think that the missions legacy at Community will be passed down is by making missions a part of your regular routine. And so when you go from here, think about that. How can we make missions, this big, huge concept, part of our daily routine at home, and especially in front of our children and grandchildren? And the fourth one, it's been alluded to all morning, and it will come up more through this conference. Because if we're going to pass on the great missions heritage to the next generation, then it really means then younger ones. Those who are younger than us, younger adults than us, certainly teenagers and children and infants. So our fourth point here is, involving kids and friends and relatives early and often is a great way to pass on the missions heritage and legacy. There seems to be, this isn't some stat, this is just off the top of my own head, there does seem to be quite a correlation with the earliest exposure to missions and the zeal that someone has by their teen years and then on into adulthood. The earlier they're exposed to missions with a heavier dose of passion and zeal for it, the more likelihood they embrace it. That doesn't mean that later in life, if you're exposed to it, that you're not going to be as passionate, but it does seem the earlier people are exposed to missions and what God is doing, the greater their trajectory in doing incredible things for God. Listen to this very scary verse in Judges. After the death of Joshua, after that, a whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord or what the Lord had done for Israel. Think about that. After the death of Joshua and the whole generation of people who walked with Joshua, and they saw Moses and those 10 plagues in Egypt, they saw the Red Sea open and then kill all of Pharaoh's army. They saw God provide manna and quail in the wilderness and all the like. After Joshua and that whole generation had died, there grew up another generation who knew neither of God or what God had done. That is scary. How scary would it be after all this generation at CBC had gone and died and they're with the Lord, there rose up another generation that knew nothing of world missions, knew nothing of what God was doing, did not know there were people out there who did not know who the Lord was and weren't sending anyone. After what we've tried to accomplish for the last 70 years as a church, that would be very, very sad. It's a real possibility. If it's a possibility in Joshua's day, it's a possibility in our day. And in Deuteronomy 11, God warns Moses about this kind of thing happening and gives them a prescription to how to prevent it from happening. He says, fix these words of mine, Moses. Fix them on your hearts and your minds. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit and when you're at home, regularly, routinely, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Remember my words. Remember what I've done. Remember what I've told you. Remember them continually, day after day after day, and teach them to your kids over and over, so that that will not happen. But obviously it did. And that's very sad. We don't want to be like that generation of Israel. We want to successfully hand down the legacy of what God's doing in the world. The Church of Jesus Christ has been called to take the gospel to the ends of the earth until the whole world hears or Christ returns. Until the whole world hears or Christ returns, we keep going. And we're saying that's yet to happen. The job remains incomplete. The whole world has not heard. Over 2,000 people groups today do not have a word of Scripture. It hasn't been completed, and Christ has not yet returned. He hasn't put a stop to it himself. And so the argument is the Great Commission is not complete yet. And Christ has not returned yet to put a stop to it. So the effort must go on. And we're trying to argue again just by the time that it takes to get into one of these tribes, by the time it takes to translate the Bible and have a church established, it likely, statistically, will not be completed by this current generation, but maybe the next one or two. And so what can we do to pass that down? And so the argument is we have to outlive our lives so that when we're gone, when Jamie's gone, when these missions greats at our church are gone, we'll have a generation that's mission-minded, that will carry on this mission's legacy. For some in this room, that will mean bringing your children to any and all missions activities here at church. For some, and for all rather, that should mean teaching your kids early and often at a young age, your grandkids, teaching them of Christ's mission through the church. And for all of us at CBC, it should also have something to do with telling our kids and grandkids of what God's done through CBC and the CBC missions effort. Reminding them of CBC's great mission history. Maybe they don't know the stories of old. Lucille Sanford's not here. Think of Don Hay. He's not here. Who's going to tell his story? Who's going to tell the story of these missionary greats from our church unless we pass that down to our kids? So certainly be familiar with the heritage and the story and tell that to your children. And so the fourth and final way that the great missions legacy here at Community will be passed down, I think, is involving the younger ones in missions things early and often. Just always think of, who could I bring to this? Who's someone younger, even a younger couple or a younger kid, kind of like Tim and Cleon did with Alex? Who's someone younger that I can bring along and instill in them a mission-mindedness so that maybe when I'm gone, there's lots of little ones that look like me, mission-minded. And just want to close with a kind of a contemplative question or statement for all of us in this room. Imagine for just a moment how God might want to use the great missions heritage of the people in this room. And I don't want to just keep patting ourselves on the back, but I think we've done a pretty good job with what God's given us. And the time that we have, we've been faithful. Imagine for a moment how God may want to use the great missions heritage of the people in this room to raise up a new generation who might fulfill the Great Commission. I mean, nobody knows. It may be fulfilled during our time, or Christ may return, and he does it his way. But it's still open now. It's still ongoing now. And it's likely going to take the next generation. And how great would it be for it to either be fulfilled in our generation or the next? Hey, my kid's got it done. That's exciting to think about. May the Lord find us ready, willing, and able to offer and do any and all things necessary in order to see the mission's legacy at Community outlive us all. May we not be like that generation of Israelites who their kids and grandkids had no clue who God was or what he had done. May all of our kids and grandkids know very well of who our missionaries were, what our missions effort is, and what it'll take going on. Thank you for being with us. We're going to close just a time of prayer, just a moment. May you reflect on the things you've heard this morning from Jamie, even through the music, and even what you've heard now. And may we ask the Lord to help us all be part of this. Let's just thank him collectively for what he's done through the church to this point, and that many will be faithful to see it on into however many more generations it may need. Can we pray to that end? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for those of us who are younger in the room, who have been able to see just incredible faithfulness for those who have gone before us. Thank you for people like Dick and Lucille Sanford. Thank you for people like Don Hay. Thank you for people like Jim Larkin and the years spent overseas with Diane and their sacrifice. Thank you for those like Greg and Don and Steve and Sharon, so many others. Thank you for folks like Russ and Melody, almost their whole lives spent in Africa. We thank you for guys like Greg Schaefer doing the missions finances over all these years. Somewhat of a thankless job, but doing it faithfully year in, year out, week in, week out. We thank you. We thank you for really the heritage that we have and those that we've seen that have gone before us. And we pray that those of us who are younger and the next generation will continue in that faithful mission-mindedness and help us each know how we can be part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Again, please take time to sign up for the fellowship next Sunday evening with Seth and Caitlin and the lunch on the 18th. And we hope to see you back next week. Thank you all.